Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Do you like John Paxson's candor when he admitted the Bulls won't be signing a big-ticket free agent this offseason?
Yeah, I always appreciate it when people don't obfuscate. I appreciate it when people tell you what they see to be the truth and try to explain their plan to you. I know a lot of people get upset about that, but he did not try to complicate things. He didn't kind of cloud any issues. He confronted them, and he just admitted where they were at as a franchise. And I know a lot of people were kind of bewildered by the idea that he would say that they're not in a position to attract one of the big name free agents. But I found it refreshing. I thought that John really did a good job of explaining what the franchise is doing. I think there are a lot of people that look at it and don't really believe that the pieces they have are as good as maybe the Bulls think they could end up being. So I think there is sort of a little bit of a disconnect between the fans and management on this one, and the idea that you can't and won't bother going after the big. I think a lot of people want you to just take a shot you can't make, and I appreciated the fact that there's no muddle here. There's an understanding of exactly where you're at. There is a candor to it. Maybe you shouldn't say it. Maybe that's why maybe fans don't want to hear it. But I thought he did a very good job of kind of espousing the beliefs of the franchise and how they're trying to build the team and why they're doing it the way they're doing it. And it's just the question is whether you believe that it will work or not.
Right.
And, I enjoyed that. I've just sat through too many plans that encompassed going out and getting a guy that was never going to come here. So I like that he's realistic about their chances and their position in the league. Nobody believes they have the talent that's going to push them to a championship, and no one wants to come here and try to be the star player without support.
Yeah, if he had gone the other way, people would say he was phony. So I do look, I liked everything he had to say. I think the candor was, I don't know if it refreshing, because I think we're used to hearing it from Pax. I think I liked when he was candid about the state of the Bulls. I liked when he was candid about the state of the sports media in Chicago and elsewhere. I liked the fact that he brought it, and I felt like there was a lot of honesty in what he had to say about everything. I don't know that you have to like where the Bulls are to acknowledge that, because it's something that, you know, the fourth most valuable NBA franchise, being in a position in the third largest market, to say that you're settling, in a sense, for a player that fills your free agent needs before free agency, it says that you're not going after the stars. That's difficult to reconcile, but it's understandable because of where the decisions they've made to rebuild and where they are in terms of a franchise. So I get all that. I thought it was probably more relevant that he was candid about a couple other things that he talked about. Jim Boylan coming back, you don't have to agree with that. I think that is the one area where I think the debate is probably more valid, because I don't know that I like or agree with everything Jim Boylan has done as a coach, and yet the organization is all in on him, and that was defended.
I wonder about that, though, David. I wonder if the organization is all in on it.
Well, in the NBA, all it is,
they got another year.
Well,
he's got another year.
He's going to start next year.
He
removed any doubt. So,
but will he finish next year?
I don't know that. It's the NBA.
And you know, they were all in on Fred, and we talked to Michael Reinsdorf about it. You're all in on a guy right up to the point where you're not.
Exactly.
And the other element is, what other answer could he have given to that question?
Well, he could have left it open-ended, and he didn't. So he's coming back next year. I think going into the season, if they get the number – or offseason, if they get the number one pick, you wonder, well, who's going to be the next coach to coach this guy, Luke Walton, somebody else? Well, he removed any doubt. So that was the other one thing I thought was more relevant. The other one – Chris Dunn's playing for his Bulls future, and that was very public, very direct, and very refreshing.
I'm not much of a Paxton fan at all. And unfortunately, the headline of his appearance on The Score yesterday came at the very end, with his line about it being an interrogation. But I got to say, the press conference and that conversation for about 20 minutes, I really liked what Paxton had to say. I liked them being honest about the state of the organization. Usually I believe that they're a little delusional about where they are in the league or about the talent that they have on their roster. They're guilty of overrating some of their own players in the past and refusing to move on in time. But I thought he made a lot of good points. Said, hey, we know we're not there. Elite players are not going to – great free agent class. Doesn't matter. We're not there yet. They're not going to sign with us. We need to be realistic and setting things straight. Players never contacted the union. Where are the examples of people around the league talking bad about us? And that's Paxton's the face. That's why he's the lead voice. Because if it was Gar Forman saying the same stuff, a lot of us would be even more irate, upset about what he said. So I tend to believe him. And then Gar Forman, in other interviews yesterday, he's going out there saying they like drafting players in the second round in the 30s, and they just took $3.5 million for a draft pick in the 30s. But overall, this was the obvious. The question about the big ticket free agent this offseason, how they're out on that, we knew that. Once they made that deal, they believed 100% they weren't going to land anyone, and he just confirmed our belief.
I put a lot of stock in the belief that honesty is the best policy, so of course I do appreciate Paxton's candor about this whole situation. The state of the Bulls sucks. That's not fun. It's not fun to be a Bulls fan, as I am, as I torture myself and sit through these games and listen to them on The Score, because I have this this commitment for some reason, because I'm insane. But yes, I appreciate the candor. It's come a long way in this process with this front office in terms of the transparency, because I think back to, hey, we're going to get younger and more athletic. Oh, and hey, we're going to sign D. Wade. That was insane. That doesn't even make sense. I want to pay attention to this whole Jim Boylan situation. Sure, the offense has gotten better after the rocky start. That is true. I am not a Boylan fan. I want to see if, you know, there was high praise for Boylan and the belief in what he can do with this team. I want to see where it goes, but I'm not putting a lot of hope into the fact that Boylan will be the coach that turns this franchise around.
Is it okay to say that I appreciate the candor, but I'm not happy with what was said? Is that
sure?
Can you have those at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
The one that sticks out from the appearance on The Score that I had the biggest problem with was just that, you know, Anthony Davis not having the Bulls on his short list. I think John should be upset about that. And he didn't seem upset about it. He had an excuse for it.
Let me ask you this, Dustin. I respect that, but how do we know for sure what the reasons are Anthony Davis had eliminated the Bulls? Because I think
I've made some assumptions
that I don't know if those are fair or accurate.
I just think Anthony Davis has been around the league long enough that I don't think it's a hangers-on factor, meaning one of the coming home means that people are going to be tugging at you and pulling you in different directions and things like that. I don't know Anthony Davis at all. I don't know him for 2 seconds, right? You guys know, have been around him. I've never even been in a locker room with the guy. I've been in an arena with him, but that, so of lots and lots and lots of people. But I wouldn't, that shouldn't be, that's not the excuse anymore. I think we're over that. So I just can't, I think even he could have won, if he was looking for it, he could have won some fans by putting, you know, he could put them on the list. That doesn't mean he's going to go there. He could have cut a lot of the rhetoric out by just having his hometown team on that list.
I don't even know that that's a real list. See, because they put the Bucks on there. Okay, makes sense.
For show.
They don't have the assets to get Anthony Davis.
Well, that's like, different. Joe, I agree with you, but that's different. Like, he'd be willing to sign there. That doesn't mean that the Pelicans would be willing to send him there.
I think his agent may have thrown that list together, okay, knowing that the Lakers too, Joe, were absolutely the only real team that they really want on the list.
It's a great question.
Who is the most honest sports executive in Chicago?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that when you hear John Paxson be as honest as he was yesterday and forthright, certainly if you want to start there, that he's a candidate. Thea Epstein is pretty open. He's pretty transparent. I think there are some things, though, you do wonder about when Theo talks, what he's not telling you. So I don't know that he's very good at maybe concealing things, maybe better at controlling his emotions, maybe than, you know, John Paxson is pretty out there. He's pretty much an open book anymore, and I think that some people don't like that, but some people can appreciate or respect that. Rick Hahn's honest. I mean, Rick Hahn is very honest. He's very polished. There's still some things I think that he keeps pretty close to the vest. The other two guys, you know, Ryan Pace, I don't think we hear enough from him, and I think we should hear more from him, but I don't think we hear enough to really have a good sense that to say he's the most honest executive in town, because there's not enough reps behind the microphone. And Stan Bowman certainly is accommodating. He's very professional. I don't think he's terribly revealing. So when you ask the question, who's the most honest sports executive in Chicago, I think it implies who's the most revealing, who's most willing to share himself and his thoughts and his feelings with the sports fan or with the sports media. And after yesterday, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who does that more than John Paxson does, because he is not afraid to put himself out there, even at the risk of sounding overly defensive, even at the risk of sounding a little bit emotional. But you have to respect the fact that he's got nothing to hide and he's out there. So I would say it starts with Pax.
Yeah, I made a list, David, and I would agree with you. I think John Paxson is really out there and open and telling you what the plan is. He wants people to understand what they're doing, and he is frustrated by the fact that that little things do add up and do create this this belief that he doesn't believe is accurate about where the Bulls are at and what they're doing. But there is a disconnect there between what John says and what the fans hear, no question about it. And maybe as a conduit of that, sports radio is problematic. Maybe we do need to do a better job in terms of the way that we evaluate and assume things. I would say that Theo and Jed are fairly open when you talk to them, and they will answer a question. And as you say, I wonder if they have a more I wonder if they're concealing an answer that would actually be more accurate, but the problem is those guys are smarter than you, so it's very difficult to try to figure that out. Rick Hahn, I think, does a good job of articulating the White Sox plan. I think the problem is that he's with the White Sox, and so you have that Kenny philosophy of keep your nose out of White Sox business, and you can't really get beyond that when you think about what their plan is or what they're doing. Stan Bowman just is not dynamic enough a personality. He could tell you the truth, but you'd have nodded off while he was giving you the interview, so you might not have grasped it. And I would say when you get to the Bears, I mean, I believe is the word doggo, which means to remain motionless and quiet to escape detention. Attention. Listen, this guy, Ryan Pace, I'm pretty sure he's in the Federal Witness Protection Program. He's living somewhere up north under an assumed name. We'd never see him. We never hear from him. It is very rare that he attempts to. He didn't even take a
when
bow.
When things are bad, when things are good.
He is just standing quietly. He's motionless in his office, hoping that no one walks in. Apparently, do you know anything about that guy? It's hard to figure that guy out. Period. Again, feel free to take a bow if you have a good year. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So. I'm with you, David. That would be my order.
Yeah, Pace, he's been here 4 years, and I have no idea which side I would put him on here. It's crazy. Who is the most? You know, for the most part, a lot of the executives in town are pretty honest, except for Gar Forman. And sometimes I question what Stan Bowman ends up saying, but top of the list for me, answer to the question, is Theo Epstein. He's going to show up. He'll say, ask away. I'm here as long as you want. I will take all questions. Doesn't matter how many there are. I'll take them all. If it's an hour and a half press conference, that's fine, too. So I'll put Theo out there.
It's a two-way tie for me at the top. I actually have Han at the top of my list as well, just because of how open he's been through the rebuilding process and about the way it's gone and how open he's been in terms of this whole Manny Machado situation. So I do like that about him. So he's at the top of my list. And as Joe just pointed out, Theo as well, he tells you what's on his mind. And I get what you're saying, Mully. He's the smartest guy in the room. You're wondering if he's holding things back. Sure, I do see that. But, you know, I think of the Addison Russell situation and the way he was transparent with that. I don't agree with it, but I respect the fact that he laid it out and was honest about what they're doing with that situation, with that player. At the bottom of the list, of course, is...
Can I stop you for a second, yeah. Ray? Because I think that's a good example of him being the smartest guy in the room. Mm. Because he laid out a beautiful answer and the responsibility they have and all the... But he did not mention that the guy is an asset and that he is under contract and they do have something and that you want to get nothing for something. I mean, he gave you a perfect answer and did a great job of it, but it's more of a layered response, in my opinion, than he expressed with that answer.
No, I get that. I understand that. Of course, I just want to say at the bottom of the list as well, Ryan Pace for me. I mean, sure, he had a great year and you hope it continues. And continues to, we hope the Bears excel and go to the Super Bowl next year, sure. And as long as the Bears are successful, okay, he could be like the Wizard of Oz, and maybe we don't hear from him except when he goes on our sister station, WBBM. But people like to hear from executives, especially in a town like Chicago. Maybe now I doubt it, but maybe with this success, he'll be more comfortable coming out?
No.
Probably not.
Don't expect it.
No.
You have to ask your guy, Joniak, what he thinks.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, what's interesting about this, and I'm a huge proponent of everybody having an opinion and everybody being entitled to having that. But, you know, I feel like how we're answering the question is more about accessibility as opposed to honest. I mean, we'd have to go back and, like, fact check some of these questions and answers. Now, I do appreciate, not only from the fan standpoint, but from my job standpoint, that most of the guys in town are accessible. We haven't even talked about Stan Bowman, right? But for the most part, Stan's pretty accessible. He's pretty accessible, too. Mm-hmm. Now, what's true and false coming out of their mouths? Boy, we'd have to go back and really fact check it. Now, I do, to Joe Ostrowski's point, I do love when Theo comes out, not just on this station, but just in general, and says, ask away. I've got all the time you guys need. I mean, he's gone, right, like 90 minutes before, David. You've sat there right front and center of those things. And just there's never like one more, guys, one more, one more, last one. There's none of that. None of that.
No, his post-game, his postseason press conferences are
sort famous
of
for
epic
that, right?
Their length.
You know, now you can make the argument on pace. You know, there's been some really bad years, as we all know, with the Bears, right? And now they've had a good year, and hopefully that's going to continue. If Pace is out there talking too much, we're going to criticize him for having too many victory laps, and maybe that his eye is off the prize. You know, maybe he could talk to us, though, while he's on the Peloton or doing curls. And
that would be great.
I know he's spending plenty of time in the gym.
Let's look into that. Thursdays with Ryan.
Thursdays with Ryan from Peloton. Yeah, I've already got the sponsor.
Yeah, exactly.
Thursdays with Ryan from on top of a Peloton.
6 a.m. He's working out. He's huffing and he's puffing. He's like, well, you know, I really, really like the kicker.
Oh, I, guys, I.
We're going to give Cordy another chance.
It's going to be a good game.
How many spins a minute is that, Ryan?
You know you don't care about that.
I just asked you.
Have a good night.
Who was the biggest winner at the NBA trade deadline and the biggest loser?
I would say that the biggest loser is the Lakers, because not only did they not get Anthony Davis, but they fouled up their team with all the rumors. And despite winning last night, I would think that they could be in a little bit of trouble. And I hope they end up the 8th seed, because I'd love to see them get in and face Golden State in the first round. I think it'd be fun all the way around. The big winner is definitely the Eastern Conference, definitely the NBA, because the top four teams in the Eastern Conference are now really going to battle this out. When you look at the teams that made moves, when you look at the Philly Four, when you look at Milwaukee,
You've named them.
Well, I didn't name them. That's what they're known as. Where you been? Milwaukee, Toronto, you know, you're going to have a battle. Of course, Boston didn't do anything, but they left themselves in a great position to get Anthony Davis. When you think about those teams squaring off in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference, that's so much better, so much more competitive than it's been in a lot of years, that I think it makes it all a ton of fun. So I like the fact that the Eastern Conference teams went all in trying to win a championship, because guess what? One of them is going to face Golden State, and who knows how that works out. I would imagine that they would have problems, but who knows? So I'm pleased for those top teams, and I think that that Nico is a perfect fit in Milwaukee. So congratulations to him and the Bucks.
I think that's a good way to put it. It's not the Eastern Conference anymore. I mean, the East is getting stronger at the top. That's bad news for the Bulls. It forces their hand to be a little bit more competitive and maybe aggressive. But you look at, you could have a good debate with the Philly Four or Toronto getting Gasol, because they're all in. They're telling Kawhi Leonard, we're going to try to win an NBA title now. And the window is open, as well as the Bucks. And I think maybe it is the Bucks, because you look at the standings and you forget just how good they are. And you look at them play and you forget just how good they are. And they got better with getting Nico, who spreads the floor. And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Nico is Mr. March. He reminded us of that the other day. And
Nico's back.
March is just around the corner. And
in my mind, it's like, it's March, Nico. Keep it going.
There he is. Now, next thing you know, he's going to be growing a beard. You know, he's going to get the beard back. And then he's going to be hitting threes and averaging 22 points a game for the month. So I would think the Bucks are the biggest winner. Biggest loser? Yeah, you can say the Lakers if you want, because they are, you know, we're very public about their pursuit. But I'm going with Anthony Davis. That guy now... He made it very public. He wanted to get out. Everybody knew where he wanted to go. He tried to force the hand of the Pelicans. They said, no, thank you. We're going to keep you till the end of the year. Now they're going to play him. He's actually going to have to get on the floor and to play. I like the idea that he's a local kid, and I liked spending time with him when I have spent time with him. But this was not a good look for Anthony Davis. He tried to force a trade. They held on to him, and he was the biggest loser at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I also have to mention the Lakers as the big losers. And now it seems, according to some reports, that the Pelicans are mad at them with the tampering with Anthony Davis and all that stuff. So who knows if they're even going to end up landing this guy, even though he clearly wants to go there. And, yeah, you could look at the...
Boston has more to offer. If you just look at the players involved, they're going to get more if they wait. It's that simple.
Yeah, and there's my winner, the Celtics, because they're still in the game. Anthony Davis was not traded to the Lakers, so the Celtics are in the game, and who knows, wherever he lands, if it's Boston, if they can convince Kyrie to stay, maybe we're going to see a heck of a matchup in the finals for years to come involving Boston.
I mean, nobody really thought Anthony Davis was going to get traded at the deadline, right? Right? So the biggest, my interest in the Eastern Conference, as it is for most NBA fans, is always waning. But I think the Eastern Conference, man, that was a win all around for those four teams there. I mean, you know, as Joe just laid out with Boston, they're in the Anthony Davis game after the season's over. Sure. But I mean, what the 76ers did, and they made another move yesterday to add some bench depth. They were lacking there. And they have the Philly Four, as Molly laid out. I mean, but Nico, I think the Bucks in the Eastern Conference and overall in that day, the trade deadline day, though, are the big winner, adding Nico for sure, because he just spreads out the floor even more for Giannis. So I'm just interested to see how he gels with that team and if they can continue to keep that lead in first place. And if they can actually, I don't know, if they're better than Philly, can you say that? I don't know yet, but we'll see. I'm excited to actually see how something in the Eastern Conference played out for once. And yeah, I'll go on board with the Lakers saying they were the biggest loser just because of the fact that you had all these young guys on tilt the whole time. You had the scene the other night on the bench where where LeBron was sitting two seats removed from everyone else, and whatever. It's the business, and these young guys.
That was a great picture.
Yeah, there really was.
He was like sitting in Santa Monica, and everybody else is like at the Staples Center.
It was awesome.
I mean, trade deadline stuff, this is the business. There's always going to be guys that are in play and need to have that mindset, sure. But I just think it was messy a little bit, and the Lakers just, I'll call them the biggest loser just for the purpose of one of Dustin's favorite words, the optics.
The optics of it. Boy, this is tough because even if the Lakers had been able to make that move, right? Were they challenging for the West this year? All that did would guarantee them that they were probably getting into the playoffs, right? That would have guaranteed it.
I mean, I'm not saying that they'd win anything, but that he is a superstar, and LeBron with him, and they would have Rondo. I'm just saying they're not. That would have been interesting, Dustin. I hear you. They're still a player too short, but when you got two of the best five players on the court at any moment, that's pretty. You can win a lot.
Yeah, I'm just saying for this. When I think trade deadline, I think like to win this year's NBA championship. I don't think Boston did anything really. Like they still think that they're maybe in the mix for this summer. But what about winning this year? And everybody's right. The East is getting more and more and more and more competitive. So maybe that's the team that was the loser, because look at Philadelphia got rid of a guy that might have been just baggage, right? The Raptors went ahead and added a guy to show that they're really trying to go for this. So the teams like that. So I think maybe the Celtics not doing anything to try to get better, and they haven't been great this year. They've been good, but not great. Maybe they're the biggest losers.
It's tough to be up here answering questions.
What do you think of baseball prospectus Pecota projections for the local teams? Do the Cubs play in the most competitive division in baseball?
Well, I don't know that I'm going to put a whole lot of stock in baseball prospectus. I respect what they do, but I think that everything that came out yesterday with Pecota was based on numbers. And while I respect analytics and everything that goes into that, the Cubs are basing their bounce back on things that you can't measure. And I think that's the difficult thing it's an easy thing to overlook when you're looking at these projections, is that they are basing this on last year's performance largely and what they project this year's performance to be. They aren't looking at guys like Theo Epstein is looking at the core of the Cubs and the secondary core, maybe with Kyle Schwarber and Albert Almora and Wilson Contreras and Chris Bryant and guys who need to have big years coming back. So I think that that's why you have 82 victories projected for the Cubs. I think that where they're basing it on a bunch of guys who had disappointing seasons who probably aren't going to have disappointing seasons again. Now, if they do, they're going to win 82 games. But the Cubs are banking their entire offseason inactivity on the idea that they're bouncing back. It's an intangible investment or an investment in those intangibles. And I think that's the one thing you have to remember why I think it's easier to maybe get past this projection. As far as the Sox go, 70 victories right now for that team is probably accurate before they get Machado. Now, I think they need to reconfigure things once they get Manny. And I say once they get Manny, because they still have to be considered the favorites until they're not.
Can't hurt me. I'll be honest with you. I'm really interested to see what Dustin has to say. So I'm just going to say that I don't put a ton of stock in baseball perspective. Go back to 2005. They had no idea the White Sox were going to win. And I think what they're doing is they have an algorithm based on last year.
And I love that you used 2005.
I have to. And there are other examples. 14. I'll never forget it, and I'll never respect it.
Yeah, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. Year after year, I think they were getting the Royals wrong for quite some time. I think it just ends up being good conversation. But something that people need to remember is that these are very conservative projections. When you look at the National League, they have one team at that 90-win mark, the Dodgers, and that is it. It reminded me, even though we knew this, it just reminded me, the Cubs, what have they done? They haven't done anything.
Nothing.
There's no guarantee that there's going to be bounce backs. There's no guarantee that the new coaches are going to help improve performance. And sure, there may be more urgency, but it doesn't mean that's going to result in more victories in Joe Maddon's last season under contract. So I found that interesting. As far as this being the most competitive division, yeah, if you go top to bottom, yeah, I'll make that argument unless San Diego ends up landing somebody. But Cincinnati, with the additions they've made with Sonny Gray, Alex Wood, they have a pretty strong rotation compared to what they've had in the past, which was complete garbage. And you look around the rest of baseball, every other division, most of them have that awful team. Miami, Texas, Detroit, Baltimore. You don't have that in the NL Central. And over on the Cubs side, yes, of course, you would have to make that big adjustment. Manny Machado has been, at some point in his career, a 7-WAR player. So if they end up landing him, you make a huge change. But their projection, their conservative projection, is an 8-win jump from last season.
I too, do not put too much stock in the Pecota projections. They're conservative. Joe just laid it out, this Cubs team. We don't know how they're going to respond to last year. The big question for me is going to be Yu Darvish. What is he going to bring to the table? That's what I'm looking for from this Cubs season, one of the many things. But that's like at the top of my list, top of mind right now, as we sit on February 8th. Is the NL Central the most competitive league in baseball? Yeah, everybody. Joe also just laid out all those moves. The Cardinals made some moves. The Reds made some moves. The Brewers, as they showed you last year, are good. I'm going to say yes to that question.
Listen, I love it for the fodder that it gives us. It gives us something to talk about as we have our NFL / Super Bowl hangover week that we're trying to get over. One bottle of smart water and 4 Advil just haven't necessarily done the trick. We needed Pecota. But, you know, and God bless Dan and Connor. They were really breaking this down yesterday. I listened on the way home. But when you...
It's about framing.
Well, not only that, okay, but this guy that I remember from the postseason, not having such a great postseason, this Yasmani Grandal, right? He's 30-ish... I have to go back and look, and if I read it, I won't understand it because I'm public school educated. But Grandal and Contreras, there's a 30-run difference because Grandal is such a great catcher. So the Brewers are supposedly going to give up 30 less runs than the Cubs because of the great Yasmani Grandal. Okay? I mean, you can keep it. Okay? You can keep it with this framing and catching stride. I mean... How about what this guy does in the postseason batting? I mean, this year, 077 in the NLDS, 182 in the NLCS, and 200 with a counted whole 5-7 plate appearances because he was so awful on defense. Can't block a ball. Oh, great! So he can frame if the pitcher happens to throw it over the plate, right. He can frame it properly. But God forbid the pitcher has an off moment. God forbid if he has to move around and block a ball.
But Dustin, that framing on that pass ball was brilliant.
Yes, the Kleenex are on sale at Jewel with the lotion.
I don't think he's just doing a leg pull here. If that's the question,
he is.
Should the Blackhawks be buyers or sellers as the February 5th trade deadline nears?
Yeah, I think that they should just sit chilly. If they want to get rid of some age, I would understand that. If they want to set themselves up for a better future, I understand that. But I don't think it's time to move the big names or to do anything that would... I think they got something going here. I think they're going to make the playoffs, and I like what I'm saying.
Ooh, I love that. That's a bold prediction here on February 8th. I don't know that I'm willing to go that far yet. I certainly think it would be fun to watch, and I'm here for the hockey. I don't think they have to be either... or buyers or sellers. I think they have to be what they would refer to as their due diligence. You have to make sure that you don't turn down a great deal that might be good for the franchise, but you're not overly aggressive in unloading. You would want to see what's out there. Maybe you get a deal that somebody's trying to unload a rental to make your team better. I don't think that you're in the market for Artemi Panarin, who has been rumored to go to, the Predators in a trade as a rental. But I think you have to keep your eyes open just in case a situation like that occurs. But the Hawks are probably just really, I don't want to say they're surprised to be where they are, but I think that we should just enjoy where they are.
Yeah. Okay, so you have 8 more games before this deadline hits. I am waiting till the very last moment, and they'll have a good idea. If I have to decide right now, I would lean towards Sellers because they're playing their best hockey of the year. They're going to have to keep up, not quite this pace, but close to it to jump four more teams to solidify their spot in the playoffs. Today I'm Sellers, but talk to me in 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
I do not think they should be Sellers at all. I mean, we thought this window of postseason hockey for the Blackhawks was completely slammed shut. And now here we are on February 8th talking about being a couple games out of the playoffs. Are you kidding me? You got to go for this, man. I mean, you got to take advantage of Kane right now, playing the way he's playing. The resurgence of Jonathan Toews that we didn't know we would see. Look at the way he's playing. I mean, and the goalies are playing well. The power play is hitting right now. It's hot. I think you gotta be a buyer if this streak continues. As Joe said, sure, once you get a little closer to the actual February 25th date, you'll know, but be a buyer.
Yeah, I'm with Ray. Be a buyer. Be aggressive. Don't waste this great year that those two guys have had offensively. They've had fantastic years. Listen, Corey Crawford's back on the ice practicing a little bit, right? All it takes is one hot goaltender, right? One hot goaltender.
That is true.
The X Jonathan factor. Quick, man.
That's the X factor.
Where
if he comes
he at
back
right now? What is the? And they're not going to tell. I mean, listen. You want to talk about going back to our earlier questions? That's something they don't talk about, right? We never upper body, lower body, time TBD.
The X
Jonathan
factor.
Jonathan Quick, man.
That's the X factor.
Where
if he comes
he at
back
right now? What is the? And they're not going to tell. I mean, listen, you want to talk about going back to our earlier questions. That's something they don't talk about, right? We never upper body, lower body, time TBD. You don't know what it is. So
Colleton said we'll see in a few weeks where he's at after he was on the ice the other day. That makes me think there's no shot of him playing.
But the goaltending has been pretty good.
Yes,
it's been
it
decent, right. But not. But the problem is I don't think it's good enough for a run.
Not in the postseason, but if they get him back just before the postseason.
Right, that's what I mean.
You never
that's
know.
What I mean.
Never know.
Boy, I like this. I like the. I like a little tension and a little playoff race. I like a team that gets a little bit hot. They were hot earlier in the year, and then they went ice cold, and now they're a little bit hot. It's fun. It's fun. What was it? Cold steel on ice? So it's a hot team on ice?
Sizzling.
312-644-6767 is the number. It's Molly and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.